Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Today, we are privileged to welcome back an exceptional guest, Jess Ponce III, an authority in global communication, author, body language expert, and media commentator, known for his laser-focused training and strategies that help align words with nonverbal cues. Jess has empowered professionals across industries, shaping them into eloquent leaders and speakers. His insights, drawn from analyzing Hollywood personalities, politicians, and reality stars, offer a unique perspective on the messages that often go beneath the surface. As the author of Everyday Celebrity, a personal branding guide for media, Hollywood media coach, and Awesome, 7 Keys to Unlocking the Speaker Within, Jess has pioneered the art of authentic self-promotion, also known as the A Factor. Today, we're tapping into his expertise to navigate the tumultuous landscape of discrimination against LGBTQ members and other people that shouldn't be discriminated against. So, Jess, welcome to the show, and here we go. Hey, Jess, I am excited to have you back for a third time.
Well, Michael, so good to see you, and thank you. And what a wonderful, glorious introduction. I really appreciate that.
So. You are awesome. You are awesome. Like, if we could make it more glorious and like have banners go off, I would do that because I love what you do.
Like a theme song, right? Which I love your introduction. I was like, here we go. And I was like, ready to speak. And then I forgot. And I was like, oh, wow.
Well, let's jump into this thing. You know, one thing that I forgot to talk about at the very beginning was, you know, in the world where we should, the norm should be, you know, battles against discrimination, we are not quite there yet because people still let it go by and, you know, things that don't affect them directly don't get talked about or brought up to the forefront. So I want to talk about, and people are going to like, wait, how do we get from body language to discrimination to understanding people? So let's jump right into it. How can body language and nonverbal cues be utilized to like diffuse conflict around sensitive topics like anti-trans, anti-gay, and anti-drag legislation?
Well, I think first we need to look at what is happening. Okay. While it is a battle or a conflict over discrimination, quite often conflict in general is a battle over emotion. And what is one emotion or one person's fear or anger, and what is the other position? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to body language, there are a few things that you can do. Number one, check in with yourself. Where are you elevated? How are you feeling? And if you find that you're in an aggressive pose or a defensive pose, shift your body. Literally shift your feet. Say, where are my feet? They're planted firmly on the ground. Maybe wiggle your toes. Squeeze your buttocks or do something that gets you from here, right, from your head and your pounding heart into mm-hmm. another part of your body. And hopefully that will diffuse or give you a sense of like, oh, how is my body acting? Yep. Number two is to get away from a combative pose, right? So when person one and person two are facing off each other, they are really ready to fight. And that's a combative pose. But if you could somehow open up and be next to each other, physically, you're on sort of an even ground. Now, that can be really difficult when it comes to being in position with somebody. But literally, just kind of move. But don't move in an aggressive standpoint. Just kind of open yourself up a little bit and see if they're following to be in front of you or whatever. Or sort of like maybe move a little closer to them in a non-aggressive way, so that you're a little bit more open in terms of your body language.
Gotcha. You know, one of the things that is interesting to me is when you're in the media, when one is in the media, like just based on your experience and working with people, and I want to say mm-hmm. newscasters or those sorts of people, when they're reporting on these stories about anti-LGBT and trans legislation, do you look at their body language and go like, they're not believing what they're reading, you know, what they're saying, and how does that actually affect things? That's why I love live right there, Jess.
Exactly. I think that So yes, I look at their body language to make sure that everything is sort of in alignment. I really am cautious of making sort of broad generalizations as to whether or not they believe it. What I do see is performance tactics. So that people are being very aggressive with their hands. They're being very forward with their body gestures, and their voice is elevated. So they're telling you that they're angry. So whatever they're doing, they are creating and in many ways sensationalizing a story that on a lot of levels elicits fear, right? And yeah. It could be fear on either side, fear that your rights are going to be taken away, or fear that these people, the othering of individuals, are somehow going to impact your life. So when you get into an aggressive stance, you're putting people on defense. And in many ways, they may not be aware that they have an emotional sort of visceral response to that sort of behavior.
Have you got like an example maybe of somebody that you've seen either agitate a situation or like calm down a situation by just, like, changing their body language, moving forward, moving back, relaxing, something like that?
Well, you know, I don't want to call out a certain network, but if you were to look at the highest rated news network for many years, right now, that's questionable. I think all of, if not most of their broadcasters do that, where they could be reporting on an issue and then suddenly get into editorial mode where they're letting you know, and I'm telling you right now that this is a really bad thing that, you know, we just can't do anything without. And so it's their cadence, it's their volume, it's their hand gestures that really sort of like say, hey, you need to pay attention to this because this is a problem.
Gotcha.
So right now, I just literally emulated how to go from sort of a neutral or sort of reporting mode into something that seems to be more attention grabbing and also elicits a higher response from the viewer or the listener.
We got to keep our ratings up.
Exactly.
Exactly. So how does the art of authentic self-promotion, how can that be applied to advocacy for LGBTQ rights? Because we want to teach people, like, if I'm talking, if you're talking, if someone else is talking, you've got the opportunity to like try and make a change. How does that play into the conversation so that we can communicate instead of being combative? Just like you said about that network. Well, what do people need to learn?
Well, I think it's multi-layered. So let's first look at conflict and the idea that you're right. I'm sorry, you're wrong and I'm right.
Yes.
And how we could be arguing about two different really issues. And somehow those issues have brought into consciousness other things that are bubbling up. Could be fear, could be economic woes. Could be this idea that I need to blame somebody, okay? So realize that on many levels, what you are arguing about might be two different issues. And in that regard, that we need to get away from right and wrong, okay? You're wrong, I'm right. You don't understand what this is all about. And you do need to create a neutral playing field. So where authentic promotion comes into that is to know where you stand so that you're not baited into a conversation that comes about as a result of somebody feeling that you're wrong and they are right.
Gotcha.
So an example would be is drag queens, right? Mm-hmm. So drag queens shouldn't be around our children. That is wrong. So how do you argue with that? What they're basically saying is I'm scared that our children are going to be impacted by watching drag queens. Okay, what's beyond that? Oh, I really want my child to grow up a certain way. What's the layer beyond that? It's that heteronormative behavior is what I believe in. Example, I believe that boys should wear a certain color and act a certain way. I believe that girls should act this way and wear certain colors. Beyond that is I feel like the world is changing and the parameters in which my belief system is based on, I no longer feel like I'm comfortable with it. I don't know why I need to live in a world where somebody might wear a dress that's a man, right? So you have to look at all of these different layers of where they stand. You also have to look at where you stand in these layers. I believe in diversity. I believe that diversity includes accepting people where they happen to be. And for some people, they don't identify as a certain way. Let me go back to the drag queen example. For some people, they want to entertain others. And the way that they are best way to entertain others is to put on a persona. What is the most elaborate persona they can put on is somebody of the opposite sex who is exaggerated in a certain way. I'm able to sing, I'm able to dance. So you have one that's valuing entertainment and one that is really valuing keeping the status quo in which they are comfortable. If you get down to those basic sort of things, then you can understand where they are coming from and better understand where you are coming from if you want to make an argument that it doesn't become about right or wrong.
I love that. So the communication, the first thing is hearing what each other is saying, right? Just hearing and understanding. How do you de-escalate that? A lot of times it is what you said, I'm right, you are wrong. And how do you get people just to calm down enough to hear what the other person's saying without interjecting their opinion, like right away? It's like, well, I like dressing and wearing dresses without the other person saying like, yes, and that proves that you're a predator. How do you get them to stop that?
Well, first is to get out of a defensive mode. And we can go back to what we described initially in the body language, is to not be elevated yourself, to keep a calm voice, to keep your cadence appropriate as if you were just having a normal conversation. Bringing laughter into a situation is always helpful. So once you're able to create a stance where you know that you're not defensive or you're not being aggressive, try to hear the other person. And an easy way to do that is something I called RISE, R-I-S-E. And RISE begins with R, and it's an acronym, to reframe the situation. So in my mind, this isn't about being right or wrong. This is about understanding. And I need to understand where they are coming from. When you then get to a place where you want to understand where they're coming from, you begin to inquire. And that's the I part. You begin to ask questions in a non-defensive way. An example would be is, why do you think that's wrong? That's not going to go anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It could be, can you tell me more about that belief? Where do you feel the threat is, right? It's get them to have thoughtful conversations where they're out of the right or wrong mentality, and hopefully they're also de-escalating. And then get to S, which is to simplify. Okay, so your experience is based on this. My experience is based on this. Then you can engage the other individual. Once you have sort of a understanding of where the other person is coming from. So that is reframe, inquire, simplify, and engage.
I think those are awesome. I was watching a Saturday Night Live skit the other day, right? And it was specifically about, they were doing a news report and the two black commentators were just hoping that the crime that was committed was not by a black person. They're like, please, please, please don't let it be that. And I can identify with that because having a name like Michael Jackson, like, please don't let it be bad this time whenever it's in the news.
Yeah.
So I wonder if when someone who is trans or part of the LGBT community, they're going like, and the drag queens, let's start with them. We'll start with them. When something bad happens, it seems like everything that someone who might do that was in drag now affects them and they feel like, oh God, it just brings me down if that happens. And what's your feeling about that whole situation, you know?
Well, it's much like an argument with a couple, right? Who suddenly they're talking about where to go for dinner and it escalates into another situation where it becomes, you never make a decision. I'm always having to do this. While I had to figure out, you know, the refinancing in the house, while you were doing that, I was working to provide food to put on the table. It goes back to a history. and that history is involved in a belief system. And it just chips away at that. So you have to evaluate, am I looking at this situation or am I looking at other situations? Now, looking at other situations that have happened in the past really sort of solidify that this is something that's of value to you. We don't get mad or upset about things that we don't care about. So if you do find that you are getting upset because this sort of lifts up your shoulders and you're angry about something and this reminds you of XYZ, then you realize that, okay, this is important to me. This is something I value. What do I value about it? Do I value about the freedom of expression? Am I valuing entertainment in its various forms? Am I valuing the rights for gay, lesbian, trans, bisexual, other people who may not live a quote unquote heteronormative life? What is it that I value? So these are really great key indicators of self-awareness, because all of this really begins with where we come from.
That is true. Where we come from and what people either have experienced or they get told that they should experience. Mm-hmm. How do we get to the legislators, the people that we've put in place and as our representatives, not leaders, so that they understand? It's like, you know what? We don't want laws against trans people and against anyone at LGBTQ. How do we get them to understand what we want if we don't want laws against people?
Well, I think that on many levels, it's sort of grassroots. Okay. I wish I had a crystal ball that I could tell you exactly the two steps that we need to do. But what I do know is that according to the Human Rights Campaign, there are 520 anti-LGBTQ plus bills that have been introduced into state legislators. And 220 of those have been specifically targeted to transgender and binary people. Of those, already 70 have been enacted this year, which is the highest of any time. So we know that this is an important topic. And I mentioned those stats not to make myself look smart or researched, but rather to say that this is a issue. This is a problem. I think initially we felt like it was isolated in terms of, oh, this state or that county or in this particular situation. Now that we know and that we are aware of it, what can we do on a grassroots level with our neighbors, within our community, within our city to bring awareness? Now, sometimes that awareness is introducing them to transgender people that they have not met before. And it's not forcing the issue, but it's rather exposure. Now, I think a lot of people might feel who we identify as people who are discriminatory, as people who are being targeted. They're being forced to accept something that, quote unquote, goes against their values. And I don't even think that they might even really know what the value that they're standing behind. The value, it's really easy to say that I stand for kids and for them growing up in a certain way. But it's harder to sit there and say, I value the idea that I only have two categories of individuals, and anything that goes beyond that is really going to make me uncomfortable. Well, what you're saying is that on some level, you're closed off and that you want to remain in your bubble. Let me tell you that going outside of your bubble and seeing a world that's different may actually help you in certain ways, may actually make your life easier, may actually improve the way that you look at entertainment. And so I think it starts with us knowing where we stand. Second, knowing how big this issue is. And third, looking at our friends, looking at our neighbors, and finding ways to defuse conflict and to actually have viable, real conversations.
I think that's awesome. You know, I have to believe, and I do believe, that a lot of people who are against these things have never met or don't even know that they have met someone who is trans or does drag shows or is part of that whole in the entire LGBT community. They just don't know. They just have a thought in their head that this is what it's like.
And one of the reasons that I was drawn towards media from the very beginning is the perception that I had of myself growing up. And I remember when I came out to my parents and I was in my early 20s, among the various things that I said initially were, is I don't want to put on a dress. I'm not going to march in parades. I am not that kind of gay. Mm-hmm. And so what I was revealing is my own homophobia, which was based on the media perspective. When we sensationalize other people and we don't go down to a human level, that is another individual who is expressing who they are and how they identify themselves, then we are looking at the thing. Well, they're just different. They're just sensational. They're just doing this. And quite honestly, if we were going to look at people who are grooming children, people who are abusing children, we wouldn't be looking at drag queens. We wouldn't be looking at trans individuals. Mm-hmm. We might be looking at some of our religious institutions a little bit more than we are now. And I know that's a whole other ball of wax, and we're going to get lots of
it might be
feedback if we go down that route. So let's bring it back.
Okay. Nope, I agree with you. I think we might be looking, not we, but our society might be looking in the wrong direction. There's
yes,
there. That's where you should be looking, not here, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think on a grassroots level, really, you're just talking about that, what could people do that really care or want to do something? Because not everyone's got time to go out and march. Not everyone's got time to write signs. Not everyone's got the inclination to do that immediately. But what else can be done, like to just support communities that are disenfranchised and the laws are getting written about? What can they do?
I believe there are times and moments when yelling, getting upset, raising your voice, protesting, marching is important. Mm-hmm. And to be heard. That is not all the time. There are moments and times when having a civil conversation will win over one person or win over a small group of people because they felt heard, because they felt understood. And the yelling and the arguing and the raising of your voice isn't going to reach everybody. So I think, you know, it kind of goes back to that thing where, you know, be willing to engage in conversations and also know where to cut your losses too. You know, I as a, you know, queer Latino always get into this thing where somebody I am having a conversation with or somebody who is saying something, I'm like, oh God, here we go again. And there's going to be no use. Now, that is true on some level with some people that you're not going to be able to reach them. That's because they're not open. And you can do things to try to open them up, but arguing with them is not it. There are other people who are literally a little bit more in contact with their fear, who are a little bit more in contact with their emotion. This is indicative of communication in general, right? Yeah. Take the diversity or the LGBTQ plus factor out of it. There are people you're going to reach, and there are people you're not going to reach. The people that you are going to reach immediately are the people who are more in contact with what's going on, what they're feeling, their internal dialogue. Those who are harder to reach are the people who are just like this.
Yeah, that's I like that also. I want to dig deeper into who Jess is while we're at this, by the way.
Okay.
One of the things that I love doing on the show is we're going to play a game of this or that. I'm going to give you two options. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And if at some point you feel like, I just got to understand why I like coffee better than tea, you can tell me.
Okay. Well, this, I will say right now, I'm acknowledging that I'm caught between fear and excitement. So
okay.
let's go.
We're going to start easy. We're going to start super easy, and we're going to get down into the thought provoking. How about that? Let's start super easy.
All right.
How about discussing language on TV or in books?
TV. Okay. I think TV is a medium that I find easier to experience. Mm-hmm. And it's very rich because not only are there words, there are people's bodies, there are people's emotions and expressions that really, I think, amplify language.
About advocating for LGBTQ rights on social media or on traditional media?
For me, it would be traditional media.
Yeah, the TV, radio,
Yeah,
those sorts of things.
I think that with social media, it's really easy to hide behind a screen.
So easy, right? People just become keep with a keyboard warriors, I think is the term.
Oh, I like that. Keyboard warriors. Okay.
Yeah. About coaching LGBTQ inclusivity in Hollywood or in corporate events.
Corporate events.
Yeah.
Definitely corporate events. Yeah, I think that that's where it's needed. And you have laws like one that's being proposed in Texas where they want to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in all states and all school institutions.
You know, one thing I've always wondered is who is it that comes up with the things that need to be banned? And how is it that they know that need to be banned if they haven't read them themselves and learned something from them? And why can't the rest of us do that?
It's people who are supporting politicians that want to be reelected and who feel that fear is the way to do that.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
There you go. All right, we'll keep on the easy questions for now. How about working on a film that promotes diversity? Or a TV show that does the same thing. Film or TV?
I've done a lot of TV, so I'm going to say film.
Okay. About directing a documentary on anti-LGBTQ plus legislation or a biopic on LGBTQ activist. Anyone you want.
Ooh, documentary because it seems juicy.
Ah, okay. Let's get a little tougher. How about hosting a seminar on LGBTQ rights or giving a TED talk on the same thing?
TED Talk.
TED talk. I have a dream of doing a TED talk, and I want to do it in Spanish one day.
Well, you and I both. Hablamos en español para importante cosas.
Yes, all the important things, definitely. coaching a young LGBT activist or a seasoned politician on communication?
The first one, because I think that young activists have a lot of skills that I would love to teach and to help foster. With sort of more traditional skills.
Okay. How about publicly challenging anti-LGBTQ plus legislation or silently advocating through content production?
Content production, I think, because that is a little bit more grassroots.
Okay. Yeah, the grassroots thing, like I think people who can become grassroots, you know, leaders are amazingly powerful. And maybe that's what people fear, right?
Well, it takes a lot because you're putting yourself out there, and quite often you're putting yourself out there in your community, and you're going to be criticized. And that's okay. But if your passion allows you to be slow and steady, you know, it's the slow and steady that hopefully wins the war as opposed to fast and hurried.
Yeah. Let's try this. How about training a media personality to use their platform for LGBTQ plus advocacy or a corporate executive?
A corporate executive.
Yeah. Are we talking Fortune 500, Fortune 100?
Fortune 100, and I think because that's where the money is for legislation, for larger programs. You can reach people within your organization. I think TV is a great way to reach people. But we have a lot of people who are already doing that in social media and on TV. We don't have as many that I know of doing that on a corporate level.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we actually had corporations, the bigger ones, supporting communities that are, you know, disenfranchised or being hurt right now? That would be amazing.
And they need to have a plan on how they do it. You know, you look at Budweiser.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. We'll just leave it at we look at Budweiser.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. How about media transparency in discussing LGBTQ plus issues or controlled narratives for protection?
The first one.
Media transparency in discussing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about using assertive or diplomatic communication style when discussing LGBT, using assertive or diplomatic communication styles when discussing LGBTQ plus rights?
And what was the second option?
So you can either discuss when you're discussing LGBTQ rights, would you rather use diplomatic communication or assertive communication?
Got it. Diplomatic.
Diplomatic. Let's see if we can get on the same page.
Exactly.
Yep. Advocating for acceptance through your work entertainment or through personal activism?
I think because we've been talking so much about grassroots, I would say personal activism, because the more people that we have out there that are reaching other people, the better we will be able to hit people on their emotion. And I'm really all about that happening more and more.
Awesome. How about any discrimination laws enforced by strict penalties or through widespread education and communication?
Both? I know, I can't say both, right?
Right.
I think strict penalties definitely hit people in the pocketbook, but it's forced. So I think education and awareness is a better way to go.
Okay. How about diversifying representation in media with LGBTQ plus characters or behind the scenes roles?
That's definitely a both for me, but
Right.
behind the scene roles, I think is important because I'll try to find the right word. It's not normalize, but it is to bring about diversity within the LGBTQ plus community and how there are characters who just happen to be a part of that community that are part of the series. And you need good writers, good directors, good producers who know the nuances of how someone's sexuality may or may not impact other things in their lives. I mean,
Right.
it would be great, and I know that it's sort of a utopic idea to get to a point where that's not even an issue, but right now it is. So I think showing greater diversity within my community is something that would be really helpful.
There you go. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could just get to a point where sexuality isn't even a topic that we're talking about, whether or not, no matter what the topic is, it's just like I got something better to talk about than that, right?
And there is hope for that. Going back to a personal example, when I was talking to my mom and dad about gay marriage, one of them had a religious reaction that really made them question whether or not they would approve it. Ultimately, they did, but it was my younger brother's conversation with them, and he's a millennial, that really convinced them. And then after that, there was a transition in their belief system because they realized with him it wasn't an issue. It was like, well, duh, why are we even talking about this?
It is interesting because when you've got parents, especially older parents, and they're stuck in those
Yes.
ways, like, do you have the conversation or do you just let them go do their thing because they're going to be gone in a few years anyway? It's a tough conversation sometimes.
I believe that, and I know that to be true, but it's also a gift. If you give them a gift of who you are and can reveal that to them and allow them to love you back in whatever way that they can. I mean, sometimes when there is a really strong reaction, I know that there are people who've been kicked out and ostracized by their families, but
Yeah.
sometimes that strong reaction also indicates their strong love for you.
Gotcha. Let's try another one. It's thought-provoking. How about training a public figure who is a staunch supporter of LGBTQ plus rights or one who needs education on the subject?
Number two, for sure. I love a good challenge, and I think as long as people are speaking about it, we can have a wonderful dialogue and conversation.
There we go. Bring somebody else into the fold.
Absolutely.
Okay. How about being recognized for your work as a communication coach or an advocate for LGBTQ plus rights? I know you're going to say both.
Yeah. I would say the first, and I think that it's inclusive of LGBTQ plus rights, as well as other things that I hold very dear. For a certain, you know, example, the Latine community, mm-hmm. and how they can be more effective. And notice how I said Latine, not Latinx.
Instead of Latinx, right?
Whole other Oprah, so we'll leave that there.
There's a whole discussion to be talked about with language and gender, so we'll get there on that one.
Absolutely.
Having LGBTQ plus inclusivity as a standard practice in media or as a highlighted feature?
What do you mean by highlighted feature?
Instead of like it's just something that we talk about every once in a while, it's something that says we're loud, we're proud, we're talking about this because we think it should be done right.
I think it's a standard practice because then, like anything else, it's not forced, but it's every day.
Okay. And last one, using your media influence to combat existing discriminatory legislation or to prevent potential.
To prevent potential. And I think, again, that goes back to if we're telling people they're wrong today, what we need to do is to get to the core of it. And that is why they might change tomorrow.
There we go. I love that. I love what we've been talking about. Jess, we will definitely have to have you back some more on the show. I love
talking
with you. People that want to get in touch with you, they can find you at jp3globalmedia.com, your awesome website. And you guys over there and check out the picture of him on the front page where he's a kid. I love that picture. And let's do this again sometime in the future. And I really appreciate you. Everybody else, go ahead.
I was going to say, Michael J., it is always such a pleasure to connect with you and to talk. And I hope that we provided some good conversations for your listeners today.
I think that we did. As a matter of fact, we even have some people who have said, who just did some shout outs. We've got Shantice, love this conversation. So there are people who are listening. And of course, Caden, yo, 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 how's it going, Jess?
Love both of them.
Yes, I love this. Thank you very much. And I will see you next time. Bye, everybody.